Thank you all for coming today. Apologies for my voice. My allergies are kicking in high gear. But if you can hear me okay, then just let me know. We've started a slideshow. I'll just get this going. This is our Safe Streets and Roads for All workshop to really dig into the details of our efforts moving forward for this application. And I just realized, let's see. Okay. There we go. I think this will work. Can everybody see okay? You're on mute.
Yeah, we can see it.
Okay. Yeah, it's showing as presenter mode though, Elizabeth.
Oh, okay. So I'm not sharing the right screen. So let me get to the right screen. Okay, is this better?
Perfect.
Yep.
All right. Slide, except it doesn't advance the slides. Okay. Again, this is our Safe Streets and Roads for All workshop. Safe Streets and Roads for All, SS4A, is the federal program, USDOT's program, that has allocated $1 billion to safety plans and projects that will significantly reduce or eliminate roadway fatalities and serious injuries. That's the focus of this program on roadways for all users. And there's two types of grants available. There's planning and demonstration grants, or there's implementation grants. And here's a link to our website that has a summary of the fiscal year 2023 NOFO. And when we get the slides out to you, you'll be able to click on those links as well as the program website from USDOT. And we'll add the full NOFO that USDOT has on their program website, which may change from time to time, just keep in mind, but I can get those up on as well. So here's a brief overview of the schedule calendars over the May, June, July. So the deadline for the application is 5 p.m. on July 10th. And this year they're accepting applications through Valid Eval. So you can still get your documents from grants.gov.com, foggy brain. You can still get that, but Valid Eval is where you'll enter the application entries for your questions. But just an overview today, May 9th. So we have just under 9 weeks, which is a good amount of time to get some competitive applications going. So we've kind of set up some internal deadlines. May 23rd, if we could get your requests for letters of support so that we can do a review at least a week in advance of the deadline that Connecticut DOT has set of May 30th. And that's the date, May 30th is the date that they would like their letters of support submitted to them so they can do their review and return any letters or comments by June 26th in advance of that July 10th deadline. And I just kind of also highlighted the holidays. We've got some big holidays, Memorial Day and July 4th, just to keep in mind when you're planning your schedules, for staffing shortages or whatnot, that might be important to keep in mind. And that Monday deadline, it's kind of a tough day for a deadline, but you would have the weekend if needed. So to get everything in order. So far, we have received intent to apply forms from Town of Berland, Mansfield, Southington, and Wethersfield. And if you are on the call and are interested in applying, just if you could fill that form out or let me know if you need the form and I can send it to you, that would be great. And That way we'll know who's interested and in pursuing this application. And so Roger's going to go do an overview of the planning and demonstration grants, as well as the implementation grants. And then I'll pick up again with some of the nitty gritty of the application materials that are going to be required. And our goal is not to kill you by PowerPoint, but there's a lot of information and we want to share it all with you and try to make it as manageable as possible. So thank you again. And go ahead, Roger.
All right, Elizabeth, thank you. So I am going to run through the type of grants that we can apply for. So there's two main buckets. One is planning and demonstration grants and implementation. So I have a few slides on the planning and demonstration grants. So different from this year, there are three types of activities under the planning and demonstration: an action plan, a supplemental planning, and demonstration activities, which is our pilot programs, including behavioral and operational, in addition to infrastructure, which is usually the most activity. The minimum amount is $100,000, maximum amount is $10 million of the grant application. And then we go to the next slide, is the type of action plans are basically developing your own comprehensive safety action plan. There's eight different components to an action plan. We're not recommending that. Basically, our action plan for our region is our regional transportation safety plan. And so that document that was approved a few years ago is a viable action plan. And you can talk more about that, but we self-certify. We do a self-certification worksheet that can be submitted with the application. An application for an implementation grant or a supplemental planning or a demonstration activity. So supplemental planning and demonstration activities, I think, are the focus point for our towns on what you might want to apply for under a planning and demonstration grant. So supplemental planning are things like topical safety plans, road safety audits, which a lot you're familiar with, additional safety analysis and data collection. So if you want to do your own supplemental data collection in a more focused manner, targeted equity assessments and follow-up stakeholder engagement, more public outreach. And then demonstration activities are feasibility studies and quick build strategies and pilot programs for behavioral and operational activities or new technology or METCD engineering studies. And I'll go through this a little bit more on the next slides. Next slide. So the action plan, again, our RTSP, as we're calling it, is our action plan. Some towns might have their own action plan that they've done in the past, which is fine. It's kind of supplements and drills down on ours. We are currently, last year, we applied for a grant to supplement our RTSP. New Britain had also kind of gone after an action grant at the same time. And what happened was we got a call from USDOT. They wanted us to submit a joint application last fall. So that's what we did. We took the lead, CROG, with New Britain as an applicant, kind of as a case study to do some pretty much supplemental planning. So we're working on that now. But we don't even have an agreement with USDOT to get started yet. We're working on that. Towns are eligible to apply so for an action plan, but we're not recommending that. So the next slide is the supplemental planning category. So in order to do supplemental planning, you must have an action plan. That's the cover of our action plan. So you should be all set in that category. The final deliverable of supplemental planning is a written product that enhances the action plan. So it's basically a written planning document. And then I have, if you're into the NOFO, I have a little banner up on top. It would be page 7 of the Notice of Funding Activity has all the details if you want to dig in the details. And the next slide, again, supplemental planning. You could do a speed management study on a corridor. ADA transition plans are eligible. So if you have, we've heard a lot about, you know, your ADA transition plans, and DOT has been giving us, helping us focus, wanting towns to focus on that. So funding would be available for that. If you have ITS planning that you'd like to do, intelligent transportation systems, lighting, they give as an example. So if you want to light, you know, a number of crosswalks, that sort of thing, road safety audits, additional data collection and analysis, and targeted equity assessments. Okay. And then the other bucket, the last bucket, is demonstration activities. Again, you have to have an action plan, which we do. So these are to test proposed projects and strategies. Basically, these are temporary activities. They must be accompanied with an analysis, like a before and after data collection of crashes, is part of what's required. You have to have the demonstration activity and then incorporate the results into our action plan. They're asking that the demonstration activities are set up within 18 months after you execute an agreement. And the next slide, I think we have some samples. So quick build projects, as you know, becoming more popular, bike lanes. So you could do a bike lane with a repaint and put up the plastic delineators to create a bike lane, or intersection curb bump outs, curb extensions, where you, again, you repaint, put the tubular delineators down, shortens the crosswalk length, gives more daylighting of the pedestrians standing at the corners or mid-block intersections. Those are quick build technology, you know, projects that's under the demonstration activity. They can remain in place at, when you're done. We, on the webinar, we listened to that and people said, you have to take them down? No. You could do a pilot program for new education, or even emergency crash response methods if you want to try something out new. And I think I have on the next slide some other activities. Feasibility studies are just a picture showing what I was talking about, the top one with the crosswalk and the bump outs or curb extensions, putting in a bike lane. So that would be examples of demonstration activities. And then also, if you'd have new technology, so if you'd have something with variable speed limits, speed safety camera installation. So under our legislature is currently has a bill that is working through, whether it's going to be approved or not, you know, I don't know, but it's in the bill. It's had come out of committee that would allow municipalities to install red light running cameras or speed cameras. Adaptive signal timing they list as a potential. Signal preemption for emergency vehicles, wrong way driving alerts, ITS systems, and vehicle to infrastructure technology as ITS things, activities. And then next slide. Then the selection criteria for planning and demonstration is very basic. If we've listened to USDOT has explained that last year, they've basically submitted with something like 490 planning grants compared to, I think, well less than 100 implementation grants last year. And it seems that from what we hear on the webinars is that they're going to be trending somewhat along those lines again this year. They are really wanting people to get good planning done first before they hand out the implementation grants. That's kind of what I'm hearing. So the selection criteria is very basic, really. Safety impact, the roadway fatalities and fatality rate is a number. And we can help get the number from the FARS data or the UConn data on the fatalities. The fatality rate is just that fatality number for your town divided by your town population. Then also the equity number is the underserved community. They have a tool for SS4A on their website to compute that number. And then they have a more general additional safety context that would be a kind of a qualitative measure. So that's their selection criteria. Notice of funding opportunity, page 23. And next slide. Next slide there, Elizabeth, is the, oh yeah, criteria number one are numerical. Three is they give you a high, medium, low. They don't really, there isn't a lot of data on that. They don't have a lot of explanation. Then implementation grants, the next major category. So these are projects and strategies identified in our action plan to address specific crash, fatal and serious injury crash problems. You can also include supplemental planning and demonstration activities. So if you have an implementation project and you say something, you have a location in our plan that you want to address and have implementation includes the design and construction costs for a project. So, but in addition to that, if you have a location where you want to do that, you could also apply for supplemental planning on maybe some other quarter or other location. Expected minimum award amount is 2.5 million, maximum is 25 million. And next slide is the, these again must be in our action plan. It could also be behavioral or operational type of projects. And you can do supplemental planning and demonstration activities as well. And next slide, not eligible. If it's not a safety project, don't apply. If it's a new railway, don't apply. If it's to improve level of service, congestion issues, not a SS4A project. If it's for pavement repair or to maintain state of good repair, not an SS4A project. Okay. So what are the good projects? In our regional transportation safety plan, we have these charts, top intersection crash locations on the left, top corridor crash locations. We have, I forget exactly the number, but I think we have about 80 top crash intersection locations and maybe 60 corridor locations or vice versa. And then it also, if you advance, we have each town has their own appendix. So in your appendix, in our RTSP, we have a map and we have about three or four pages of project of kind of narrative. But on your map, I think what would be most applicable are the purple crosses showing high crash intersections. These might not be, most likely, they're not all on those, on the lists that I just showed, but they are on these maps. And the high crash corridors are the light green lines that are shown on your individual towns. So that you could make a point to develop a project for those locations. And next, also, as I've noted in our other transportation committee meetings, I want to get the our roundabout screening results into our formally into our RTSP. Current plan is to get that formally adopted in our June transportation committee meeting. Listing that we have three lists, the top ranked locations in our entire region, the top three municipal locations for each town, and then those that were suggested by the municipalities. We have the, after we've reviewed those and based on the crash data and crash volume and right-of-way issues, we highlighted in yellow those locations that our study recommended that are town-owned roads. The state-owned roads that are recommended are the blue ones. So we'll get those incorporated. I think we've shared those the last couple months, so you should have them. If you don't, they're in our on our website under our TC meeting documents. Or just give me an email. We'll get those to you. And then moving ahead, the selection criteria. So the selection criteria is a little more specific for the implementation grants. Safety impact, equity engagement and collaboration. They want to make sure that you've done some engagement, had a public meeting, have some collaboration about your proposed improvement. How effective is your strategy? Is it basically a proven safety countermeasure? The Federal Highway has those on their website. You type in proven safety countermeasure and you're going to pop up their 28 countermeasures. Does it line up with other DOT goals, US DOT goals, which are climate and sustainability? economic competitiveness, and workforce. So those are three specific things that are listed in the notice of funding opportunity. You should address those to some fashion. If you, in your application, you want to put some words down. One thing we heard, we were debriefed last year by the USDOT on the, we did apply, our five towns last year did apply for implementation grant. We heard we did not have enough detail explaining these criteria in our implementation grant that was submitted last year. So you just use this outline in your narrative, and we'll go through that. There's a 12-page narrative that you can submit. And then the next slide, 12-page merit narrative, address the selection criteria. So they're going to rank those using a qualitative high, medium, low, or non-responsive rating. And next slide is Elizabeth. So those are the project types, and we want to help you develop some projects to submit. So with that, Elizabeth's going to go through some details on the application itself.
Okay, thanks, Roger. Overview, SAM.gov, if you don't have a registration yet, and if you'll have to start getting that through the government. Any entity that does business with the government needs this. So you need the SAM.gov. There's a good website that the EPA has provided with links to videos and other checklists that might help with how to register for this, but you need to be registered before submitting an application. You need to have the unique entity identifier, UEI, which apparently if you just have a SAM.gov registration but not a UEI, you have to figure out, you know, there may be other steps to do, and that's why I think it's helpful to go through the checklists and websites if you don't have one. Most towns, I think, do already have this, but you also need to keep in mind that this registration needs to be active at all times throughout the application process, because they use that to check in on if you are if in compliance. So it's a way to audit the town. So next, just confirm that you have an active SAM registration and the UEI. It can take several weeks to obtain this registration. And there's the link here, SAM.gov, to get that registration going if need be. The second big thing to keep in mind, is, as mentioned, was the application materials are available from grants.gov, but the applications will be accepted through Valid Eval. So you'll need to register with Valid Eval. It's very simple. Won't take long for this one. You don't really need a lot of information like maybe required for the SAM.gov. And there's not really a review period by the federal government for that. So there's two separate links though. So one is for planning and demonstration applications, and the second is for implementation applications. So there's unique applications, and just the next slide shows a sample, sorry if it's very tiny, of the screen for Valid Eval. And then basically all of the questions for the grant application are all linked up to this, the website. So once you're registered, you'll have access to enter the entries of the application and upload any of the standard forms or supporting documents that you have. So they have spots for all of that right in this Valid Eval. So it is a good move, I think. It's a much more user-friendly system that I could see so far. And just going through planning and demonstration application requirements, list of standard forms that are required. So the application for federal assistance, that's a general form that's required for all of our grant programs, SF-424. And then budget information, and this is unique for planning and demonstration. It's in non-construction programs. So that's standard form 424A. And then there's assurances for non-construction programs, standard form 424B, and disclosure of lobbying activities, standard form LLL. and we can provide assistance if needed in completing these standard forms. If you have questions, we can go through that. The other items for the application are key information questions. And there's a table in the NOFO, table 2, that is unique to the planning and administration application requirements. And this is some examples of the questions that are asked. But again, since Valid Eval is set up in such a way where you can enter those questions right there. But just some examples: the total jurisdiction population, the list of the census tracts covered by the applicant jurisdiction, and then the count of roadway fatalities. And this is information that is available through the USDOT Fatality Analysis Reporting System, FARS, or an alternative source like the UConn Crash Data Repository. So, and there's more information about this coming later in the presentation. And then another couple of key information questions is the total average annual fatality rate. And they're asking for us to use 2020 U.S. Census American Community Surveys data for this five-year population estimate. And more information about calculating that rate is down the road. But as Roger mentioned, we can also provide assistance with this. Another item is the total percent of population in an underserved community's census tract. Again, based on 2020 census data. And they have asked that we use one or the other, the USDOT's Equitable Transportation Community Explorer tool, ETC, which was recently updated. I believe on Friday, they issued a notice that tool has been updated, or the Climate and Economic Justice Screening tool is another option, but it might involve some more work to get the data ready. But we can certainly look into that. Again, this is something we'll dig into a little bit later, but they're looking for screenshot results of this to be included in your applications. And there's a spot to upload that pretty much PDFs of all of the application documents is what they're looking uploaded PDFs into the Valid Eval. Okay, just going quickly through key information, questions continued. They're asking if you're in a region that received funding or were awarded funding in the last round. And yes, CROG received FY 2022 funding for supplemental planning activities. So based on that, there is a list of possible questions, and we are saying that yes, our jurisdiction included in a regional or multi-jurisdictional action plan effort that received FY 2022 funding. So that would be the box to check on that question. And then they're asking if your application differs or complements these other efforts, and to coordinate. So if you have a planning and demonstration project that you're interested in, let us know, and we can make that determination together if it complements or is different from the funding that we already have and the plans that are already underway by Roger and the FHWA team there. And then just some simple things like the project title, and just make sure everything's consistent across the application materials. Project goal, they're looking for 2 or 3 sentences. They want to know what the problem is and how it's going to be solved from the project. And that was another item that was kind of driven home from the debrief. You know, describe the problem to be solved from the project. And then project costs, we can get into a little bit more with the budget section later, and the application type itself. So there are some examples of the application types just for reference. And I know Roger went into this a little bit more with the quick build, demonstration pilot of behavioral program, operational programs. So I don't want to be too redundant here, but this is an example of the checklist that was a screenshot from Valid Eval. So it may help in if you're still deciding on a project or trying to decide what your project would fit into within this application types. And for the planning and demonstration applications, this is a two-page narrative. So it's not a heavy lift, but you still need to demonstrate that you're responding to the selection criteria. And just included that section E.1.1 from the NOFO, which really goes into detail of the selection criteria. And if you have a demonstration activity, you must provide a brief schedule showing when the activities will be in place and the start and dates of the work. And as Roger mentioned, it has to be set up within 18 months. Planning and demonstration. So self-certification eligibility worksheets are required unless you're applying for a new action plan, which is not likely since CROG already applied and received or awarded the funding for the new action plan. So most likely all of our efforts will fall into that, either that supplementary planning or the demonstration activities. So CROG can prepare the template using the existing regional transportation safety plan as the basis, or if your town has a different plan that would be served as the basis as as that action plan, then we can provide assistance in completing that form with you. But invalid eval, you need to provide either a link to the RTSP or upload a PDF of that into the valid eval or whatever action plan you happen to be using. So also required is a map, a PDF map showing the location of the jurisdiction and highlighting the roadway network that is under the applicant's jurisdiction. And some of these requirements are the same for the implementation grant. So when we go through that, I won't belabor these points, but planning and demonstration application for the budget, they're asking for a brief narrative summarizing the amount of funding going to each eligible activity, a high level overview of the estimated activity costs organized by major cost elements, and a breakdown of the two categories of funding sources. So the federal funding share and a non-federal share funds indicate the costs or value of in-kind match that could be used towards meeting that non-federal share funds. And then the standard form 424A is the budget form that will be used for this. And again, just make sure that, you know, the narrative, standard form, and valid eval entries are consistent. And that's something that if, you know, we have time now, we can build the schedule and help you to make sure we could do a third party review or however, to make sure everything's consistent, however that helps. Okay, so moving into the implementation application requirements, again, the standard forms, still the same, you know, the application form itself, but the budget form would be for construction programs. And again, the assurances would be for construction programs. And the disclosure lobbying activities would be the same. Key information questions. Some of the same questions need to be answered for this. And then there's some unique ones, but there's a table 3 on the NOFO, as well as the valid eval. We'll go through each of those entries for those questions. Or offers the opportunity to enter the answers to those questions that are in table 3. So you can either look at table 3 or just go to valid eval and it guides you through those questions. Previous SS4A funding in the jurisdiction again. So this is the same as the previous planning and demonstration that yes, CROG did was included. And is pursuing an action plan effort for, you know, that received the FY 2022 funding. Again, total jurisdiction population is required. The list of the census tracts in the applicant's jurisdiction. Here, they're also asking for a list of census tracts where projects would take place. And again, asking for the count of roadway fatalities using either FARS or alternative source like the Yukon data. Total average annual fatality rate is asked for again. And we'll dig into that a little bit in a few minutes. Total percent of population in underserved communities census tracts. So this is, again, based on the ETC tool or the climate and economic justice screening tool and similar as in the planning and demonstration grants. Project title, here they're asking for a one paragraph problem statement. So summary of the safety problem that the project will address. And then they want to know the applicant's roadway safety responsibility as well. And then project benefits. So will it benefit pedestrians, bicyclists, micromobility scooters, transit users, commercial motor vehicles, automobiles, emergency medical services, or other? So thinking about, you know, what the purpose of this is, it's multi-use, multi-users. So improving road safety for all users. Planning activities. They want to know which planning activities, demonstration, or supplemental that you'll include with your implementation application. And from my understanding, they have a certain set aside of 40% of all funds, or maybe I'm getting this backwards, sorry. Funds have to be allocated to planning. So if the more planning and planning activities that they receive applications for, the more implementation grants they can award. So last round, we were told that they didn't receive enough planning and demonstration grants to allow them to fund the implementation grants, all of them, because it was a split of that set aside requirement for planning. So that's why there's a carryover from last year too in this round. So there's even more funding available for the second round of funding than the first was initially anticipated. Again, just going over, these are excerpts from ValidEval. The primary project purpose, is it a behavioral strategy, an infrastructure strategy, or an operation or technology strategy? And this is helpful because if you have any number of these projects or strategies in your municipality, if you're thinking about this, that this program might be a way to fund some of these strategies that you already are anticipating or have planned in other ways in your budgets. So just trying to think about ways to get some federal funding for things that you may be already implementing in other ways. They're also asking for the primary project type. Is it a major construction project or a minor construction project? And then there's examples of what makes each one. All right. And then the narrative, again, it's no more than 12 pages, not including the cover page, table of contents, budget sections, self-certification worksheet, or any appendices. In the narrative, they've included a recommended outline, which I will take this as well as the selection criteria and draft up a template for your use and make sure to get that out to you as soon as possible. But, you know, an overview, introduction of the project, description of the safety context, jurisdiction, and high-level background information. They want the location section, describe the jurisdiction's location, the high injury network in the jurisdiction, and identify potential locations and corridors of the projects and strategies. And part three is response to the selection criteria. And really, this is probably the most important part of your application, is to make sure that what you're proposing to do responds to the selection criteria adequately. And that we, you know, I'll build into that template some of those key, the selection criteria and key points for each. and work that out, try to make it as easy as possible to be able to help, you know, jog the creation of these narratives so that we can have a competitive application. And then part four of the narrative would be project readiness and demonstrate the ability to substantially execute and complete the full scope of the work in the application proposal within 5 years of grant execution. So not of award, not of application, but of the time that the grant is executed. And that would be the final signature by USDOT or FHWA. Project readiness, you'll focus on design, construction, environmental permitting, and any approval processes. Okay, and self-certification eligibility workshop. Worksheet, already touched on that before. This is a mandatory attachment though for implementation grants. And then the map is another upload, a PDF up map. And the budget. So they're asking again for a narrative, a high level overview of the estimated activity costs organized by major cost elements, and a summary of the amount of funding going into each eligible activity. That type A, supplemental planning, the type B, planning, design, and development activities for projects and strategies. That's the more typical implementation grant. And type C, carrying out projects and strategies. And that, I believe they're asking for this breakdown is so that they can ensure that they're meeting their set aside requirements so that they can fund more implementation grant projects. And they group the funding sources into two categories, the federal share and the non-federal share, which is 20%. And indicate the total federal funds allocated to underserved communities. And that's where those tools, the ETC or the CJEST, come in. And then indicating value in kind, of values of in-kind match. Here we're using a slightly different form for the implementation grants, SF-424C, which is for construction. They've also provided a supplemental estimated budget worksheet, which is also in table four in the NOFO. So this is a link to the Excel spreadsheet that they've provided on the program webpage that can help with categorizing all of those different funding types. And again, just, you know, doing a review, making sure that you're consistent with the narrative, standard forms, the supplemental worksheet, and any valid eval entries. Okay, so I know this is a lot of information, but just wanted to share, this is a screenshot of the Equitable Transportation Community ETC Explorer, and a link at the bottom here to access this. This is what you're able to create a map of. You could select either, first select the state, Connecticut, and then you can select a community. And you can go by town. Here I've selected the Capital Region COG. And this shows the percent of disadvantaged census tracts in the selected project area. So it shows the total population, living in disadvantaged census tracts, and then the percent. And this is to answer some of those questions related to, directly related to that within within the valid eval and the application. But again, happy to help. They show anything over 65% is considered disadvantaged. But that's this will vary depending on which community is selected. And the other tool that wanted to go over is the USDOT's Fatality Analysis Reporting System. That's the FARS or FARS, however you want to say it. Excuse me. So here you select the range. They've said you could either select 2016 to 2020 or 2017 to 2021. and then select the municipality and submit a report. And this is an example of what came out of the report for the town of Berlin. And so this will then be could then be used for to calculate the fatality rate. And there's a link here down at the bottom to access this and create your own query to get your generate your own report. And the formula to calculating the total average annual fatality rate using the data that's collected either from FARS or through UConn. So the total number of vehicle crashes divided by five, since it's a 5-year term or date range, divided by the jurisdiction population number times 100,000 to get that rate per 100,000 population. And again, we can assist with that once we get any numbers. So wanted to just show again the schedule and next steps. And see if you have any questions or discussion, would like to talk about any projects. So thank you. Opening up for questions. If you have any trouble unmuting, let us know.
And I think the next important deadline, if you go back to that calendar, you'll see the May 23rd. That's really, if you have a project that's on a state route or is going to need support from the state, specifically if it's on a state route, we need to get that information over to DOT by the following week so that they can come up with a determination of support. The feds want to know that the owner of the facility is in concurrence with any applications. So that is the next milestone coming up. Raj, anything else to add on the, or Elizabeth to add on the schedule? I know, especially with state projects, they're not getting back to us. They haven't committed to get back to us till June 26th. And then the due date is the 10th. Which is way too short a turnaround if you're going to want to submit an application. So I think we have to be working throughout June to put that together if that's the case, even though we haven't gotten official word from CONDOT. And obviously, if it's on a not on a state route, then you don't have that issue.
We wouldn't have to submit it if it's, I guess, technically, if it's not on a, if it's your town-owned road. But if it is a state road, like Rob said, please get a basic description of the project, the location, the cost, and what the scope of the project is to us. DOT and the Connecticut Built Group, Commissioner Boughton's work group, is requesting that the requests for letters of support by DOT be submitted by the COGS. So as we get that information from you, we will submit it to them as soon as we can to get the ball rolling. And again, the due date was the 30th, but we circled the 23rd to give us a few days so that if we get a number of them, we can just take a look at it and put an email together to get the information to DOT. And in the meantime, we'd want to, keep working on the application, supporting, your efforts to get an application in. And especially if it's, if you're considering a roundabout, and we have had some towns interested in that already, as a lot of you know, DOT is cautious, conservative about roundabout installations where they're supporting them, but they want them well designed and planned. And so we can do some advanced work, and we have reached out to DOT to get feedback on suggested roundabout project locations, at least one. So we're trying to keep the communication lines open with DOT as best we can.
The other thing is we had an intent to apply form that quite a few municipalities got to us by this past Friday. We would still like any towns, if they plan to submit, to let us know. I mean, we're certainly willing to provide letters of support of our own for your projects and help you through the application process. And as you can see, you know, there is some upfront work needed. And we've done a lot of, you know, Elizabeth has done a lot of digging into the details. So I think we have a lot to offer there. But as you can see, it is a lot, and it's something that you really don't want to wait until, you know, July 1st or even mid-June to get going on that. In fact, the SAM.gov unique identifier and all signing up for all that sometimes can take multiple weeks. So you really want to start very soon if this is your intention.
So feel free to reach out if you have specifics as you think about projects. And we're, you know, Elizabeth and I are both kind of working on it together to try to support good applications.
Now, Kara did put up in the chat a couple of links, I think, to our site and a federal site. I believe we're going to put up more links, correct, onto our website, including this presentation. So you can go there, and if you want to see any of this material, there were links, I think, embedded in this app, in this presentation. So those would be helpful too.
And I'm happy to stay on after the meeting if anyone would like to have a impromptu chat following the meeting, so I can stay on if that's more comfortable. Let me know. I can add some of those links into the chat as well, but hoping I didn't bore everybody to death, right, with all the details. So
I was just thinking, when, as we did do implementation grant application last year, we did come up a kind of in-house with some, like a spreadsheet for costs. You know, as you think through, you know, construction, design, permitting, administration of by your own staff, and all those, some of the nuances with that. So we kind of did come up with a format like last year. We can share whatever.
I'm glad you brought that up, Raj. I mean, there's the 20% local match is required. But if you are doing an implementation grant or whatever type of grant you're doing, you'll want to include a pretty liberal amount for administration of the grant. And that's allowed under the federal process. And all I can say is really it's up to you as to what percentage to put in. But historically, CONDOT has charged, when they administer these types of grants, they have charged between 10 and 15% of the implementation cost of the project if it's an implementation grant. So there will need to be, you know, various reporting requirements and detailed contracts to put together and things of that nature. So, the administrative costs are eligible to be part of your application. And you'll probably want to put those in and calculate those into your costs.
And in general, this SS4A program by USDOT is being administered under Code of Federal Regulations 2 instead of CFR 23, which is almost all the other FHWA programs that CONDOT has to follow CFR 23. Supposedly, CFR 2 is a little less cumbersome, We're on the learning curve with that right now as we are working through our grant agreement from last year. So just wanted to share, hopefully they're trying to make it a little less administrative time and effort required, but time will tell. Well, I think that's what we had, what we wanted to share, right, Elizabeth? And I think that's, Rob, I think that's, nobody has any specific questions, so I think we could wrap it up.
Yeah, I'm just cutting and pasting from my little cheat sheet of web links, of fact sheets and helpful information. So feel free to stay on with me. And if you have questions, I also understand if you have to cut out. So I will just add the information and then make it part of the recording. And we'll be following up, I'm sure, with the four towns that have submitted the intent to apply. We have we can conduct one-on-one meetings as we gear up for this application. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.